Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in to us here on Terrace Talk here on Monday evening, live in Radio Kerry. Here we are in the middle of Tralee, and stay with us for a very busy show this evening, which features a lot about the small ball this evening, particularly for the first hour, as we catch up with our hurling representatives who are heading into Munster action in the next couple of weeks. And that's right, of course, Crotty O'Neill's and Tralee Parnell's. They're preparing, I suppose, their trips to Munster for the Intermediate and Junior Hurling Championships, and we'll catch up with those guys fairly shortly. In the second hour, we have John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, with us looking back at this weekend's Garvey's Super Value County football semi-final action, as I suppose East Kerry and Mid Kerry, I suppose, in the end got over the line handy enough. They done the business and they set up a repeat of next year's final, which we'll all look forward to. Hopefully championship really needs a big game. Hopefully that'll be the big game. It's been a poor enough championship so far. And then around 7:30 this evening, we chat with, I suppose, one of the real early superstars of ladies football here in the county. That's Casey Driscoll, of course, very successful footballer and an international soccer player as well. And if you're out there and you've got any comment or question for us at all, get in contact, and you can phone us live, and of course is on the phones this evening, 0667123666. You can text us on 083 300 3300, and also on WhatsApp as well. Now I'm in studio with Brendan O'Mahony, manager, Bill Keane, captain, Adam O'Sullivan. They just put on player for you. You're just a player, is it? You really relegated him.
Vice captain.
we'll have to scribble that out for you. And Mike Parker, of course. What's that? You're the GPC, is it? General Purpose Committee and everything, is it? Yeah, absolutely. But of course, if you didn't know about it, of course, it's all Crotty O'Neill's, and we're going to be talking to them fairly shortly. Brendan Mahoney, did you know this time 5 months ago, 6 months ago, that you'd be sitting here with Niels Flynn? Because I tell you, before we start, James McCarthy said you weren't going to be sitting here at all. Like, there was no hope that you'd be inside here.
I couldn't see where James was coming from. We had 3 minors, 1 in 251, so we had a bit of form. But look, We set out at the end of January, and we targeted the county championship. You know, it was our only goal for the year, really, and that's not taken away from the county league or the North Kerry league or the North Kerry championship, which was our one goal, really. So we didn't put any pressure on any players until, you know, 3 or 4 weeks for the county championship. But we had prepared pretty well, now, in fairness, and that was our target, really, to get to a semi-final of a county championship and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say you prepare well, because I suppose every team sits down in North Kerry, and I suppose we use the term North Kerry even though it's the county championship, and kind of look at what they done last year and improve. But over the years, you had a lot of success at minors, you had a lot of success at under 21s, so in many ways you had a team coming, particularly of good young players.
Yeah, like a lot of the lads had won the Féile, like, for the first time. You know, Adam was there now, and a few more of the lads that were playing senior this year. And then we progressed on, and we won our first minor in 2016, and then we won another minor in 2017. And then that followed, you know, by 2 under 21s, and then another minor again. So, like, you know, there was good form there in the club, like, you know, and the lads were a bit unlucky last year, losing to Ballyduff. They didn't perform on the day, so, you know, the form was actually there. Like, it was just, you know, getting all players together and rowing in the one direction, really, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the draw is made, and you're in with Abby Dorney and Dr. Crokes. You're thinking straight away, God, yeah, we have a good chance of getting out of this. We've avoided a few of the teams that we might want to avoid, maybe till the later end.
Yeah, we prepared very hard for the Crokes match, because we didn't know what they were going to bring. You know, Aidan O'Mahony was in charge of them, and we were very worried. But we played some great hurling on a bad night. Then we moved on, we played Abby Dorney, like, and we had some terrific battles with Abby Dorney this year without actually beating them. So, you know, we got a draw out of that. But then we got put back into the quarterfinals. So, look, mm-hmm. We came the tough route.
Yeah, the journey heated up from there. Bill, I asked you earlier, having a good bit of a laugh about your speech. Obviously, you have it ready for the Munster one as well. But come here, let's go back. I mean, you're in the group stages. And as Brendan has said, like, you're working off the disappointment of the year before, thinking, God, we should have done better, we could have done better, we were good enough to do better maybe as well. You're in the group stages. Dr. Crokes, interesting, we mentioned Aidan O'Mahony, the fitness and the whole lot coming into it. How important is it when you go into championship to hit the ground running for yourself and put up a big score?
I suppose most of the time you're kind of looking to get off to a good start in any competition. You don't want to go into a competition and lose and put yourself under pressure for the following week, which would have put us under desperate pressure against Abby Dorney, as it turned out, because we drew with Abby Dorney. If we got a loss and a draw, so we were out. And most of the time you want to get a good start, and we knew Crokes and Abby Dorney had played out a tough game the week before, so it only left us to be on at our best. And that night in particular, we were at our best, and we hit a good score. and we had to follow up the following week against Debbie Dorney with a draw. And that was really a reckless night with weather and wind and rain and everything. It just didn't help the conditions, and it was a tough game. We got off to a good start, and Debbie Dorney came back to us in the second half, and we got, I think Jack McKinnon got an equalising point at the end of the Debbie Dorney game to get us through.
Yeah. So, a very important point after, of course, I suppose, really. Adam, I suppose going into any championship, it's step by step, game by game. You're not looking at the big picture down the line. Getting out of the group, that's probably the most important thing in the first two games.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you have to take it week by week to know there's no point looking down the line and falling over the first hurdle. So that's, we definitely just concentrated on game by game. Like, we didn't think beyond Crokes, and once we got over that hurdle, we didn't think beyond Debbie Dorney, and once we got over Debbie Dorney, then it was time to move on to the next challenge. But I think if you're looking down the road too much, you'll get caught out. So we made sure to just be focused on the task in hand and study yourself and just do everything as best we could on the day.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Mike Parker, you were probably doing the facts and the figures and the draws and the whole lot, and you were probably looking at the scoring difference where you were saying the group and saying, God, we're on top of this group now, lads, because we've scored more and we're looking good. Then the quarterfinals come, and it doesn't look much of a reward when they give you Causeway.
That's right. I suppose the tough group there, right? Causeway coming up. Yeah, it's tough.
And Causeway, of course, you know, I suppose coming off, I suppose, so many good wins down through the years, and they were a farm team, and maybe hurting a small bit as well because they didn't come out of the group first, of course.
That's right, yeah. It was a very tough group for Lois, I suppose, but that's what kind of set their standards up. Then again, the boys kind of rose to that.
Yeah. When you're facing a team like Causeway, Brendan, obviously, look, I presume you've seen these players since they were 14, travelling all the way up as well. They have got a bit more success. They know what it's like to win. They were sitting here actually ahead of the championship draw with our friend here in front of us as well. Does that give you more of a chance to know how good they are, that you've seen them so much? And is it easier to prepare, or is it even harder to prepare?
Yeah, we played Causeway in the County League match in a home game, I think in early in the season, maybe in April. And they showed us the level that we needed to get up to. Mm-hmm. Because they gave us a right roast in the same day, and they were really slick and really good, and I think that was a day really that we knew we had a lot of work to do. And very powerful, very strong team and worthy champions, you know, but you know, we embraced the challenge. We knew what way to get up to, and as I say, we targeted the championship. But when we got Causeway, look, what can you do when you get in there? And we prepared very well again for that match again. Yeah.
When you get a beating like that by a team like Causeway, and you're a couple of months out from the championship, do you roll up the sleeves more, or do you say, God, look, we have an awful lot of work to do? Or is it good to get, I suppose I won't say hiding, but is it good to get one of those early in the campaign to know the level, and then you go back into the dressing room? It's probably easier to bring fellas back down to your level and tell them what you need to get to.
Yeah, I was looking around after that match and I was thinking to myself, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of work, but look, we had time on our side, you know. That was the level that needed to be got up to, and it was an eye-opener for us and for all the players. Causeway just really, I think, won by maybe 14 or 15 points on the day. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fierce learning experience for us, so you know, we knuckled down and rolled up the sleeves and built it on after that.
Did you get a lot running around the field that night, Bill, did you?
Got a good few runs around the place, all right, carried everywhere.
Is it good though to get a game like that? I mean, like I said, sometimes you learn an awful lot more by how to lose, or the margin of losing, or, you know, I mean, it might even build a team that are playing you the next time to have a bit more, saying, it's only Crotty again, here we go. But do you come off a field kind of disappointed in yourself, or do your players come off disappointed, or, as Brendan says, you know what you need to do?
Anytime you lose a game, like it, however big or small it is, you're always going home contemplating what could I have done better, what could I have done worse, or what did I do bad. So like, it's like we got a beating from Causeway, but I think we played Ballyduff and we played Kinwiley, and they gave us a bit of a tossing once or twice as well. So kind of made fellas think and showed us where we need to get and how far we have to get before we can actually challenge these teams, and because they have it all done, and we were trying to get to their level. Mm-hmm. And showed in the end that we got to their level, and hopefully again next year we can keep up that level.
God, what are you planning for next year, Brendan? Huh? Yeah. God almighty, huh? No pressure at all, like.
You always have to be a step ahead.
Got one taste of winning and off we go. Come here, you did 1-0 only for your goalkeeper against Causeway. Adam, you were in the right place at the right time a few times, weren't you?
I suppose, yeah, the last line defence, but that's, I suppose, at the end of the day, that's your job.
Yeah.
And
speak to us about the penalties, because obviously people are at home saying, what's he on about now? But I mean, that game went to penalties, yourselves in Causeway. I mean, what goes through your mind when you know that you have to have a winner on the night? You'd probably like to win or lose on the field in that sense, but it is going to penalties. They are the rules. In you go, five guys are going to whack a ball at you. Do the best you can. Do you have a strategy for it, or how does it work out?
Well, I suppose starting off, it shouldn't have on for us. I don't think it should have got that far anyway. I think we should have won the match in normal time. We should have won it in extra time. So if we didn't come out the right side of the penalty shootouts, it would have been a crying shame on our behalf. So I suppose we did have a couple of practice rounds of penalties after training, but that was kind of half messing around at the end of training. But I suppose as a goalie, it's unusual, you know, for anyone to see a penalty shootout in hurling. It is talked about, it is unusual. Thankfully we got out the right side of it. It came, you know, you practice these things, a lot of it is down to guesswork as well, where you think a fella might go, because if you don't, the ball travels so fast. If you don't have an idea where it's going already, you're at nothing. Like,
do you pick the same side? God, I might be all listening to now. Sorry. But is there a thing that, look, I'm going to go left as often as I can, hoping that two of those are going to go left and I'm going to get close to it? Or is there a tail in the guy coming up? Is there a tail in the way he's holding the hurley? Is there a tail that he picks up for that split second?
I don't think you would be guessing, no, because, like, especially around here, if you go to the wrong side and it trickles into the other side, you look like a pure idiot. Right. So I personally don't guess, as unless it's something you're facing an inter-county player or something like that, you know. So you'd wait till the last second and watch the white ball that's as close as you can, and spring then hopefully you get a touch to it and make it safe. But sometimes the power, just you don't even see it, you just hear it come past you. But you do, hopefully one or two, you get a touch to them, you keep them out, and you're on the right road then after that.
You're not writing the names of the penalty takers on a water bottle and sticking behind the goal and saying he's going left now and he's going to go low, Brendan. No, you're not that far up, are you?
No, in fairness to Adam, he came good in fairness, because, you know, the penalty shootout was nerve-wracking. First of all, I think it was Shane Nolan that took it and missed it, and then Barry took one and missed it, and then Rory took one and missed it. And I said to myself, it's not going to be out there. It started off pretty bad, and I said, you know, this is going to be another bad day inside Nelson Stacks. But look, thankfully, you know, they settled down again, and Adam came to the rescue, in fairness, scored a penalty and saved it, and the rest is history, you know. Yeah. I don't think games should be decided on penalties, being honest with you. It's not a right way.
It was the first time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Historic. What's the atmosphere like now, building in the Crossett community? I mean, they're after beating Causeway, they go out the group, they're in the semi-final. What's it like outside, Mike? People coming in out to, or is there thoughts of winning it? Are you still celebrating that you've beat Causeway? What's the feeling like?
At the moment, going for the Munster game is a...
No, the build-up after the Causeway. You're after finishing Causeway now.
That's
you're
right, yeah. 3-2 and just building up then again, where you're taking on another big gun in Kilmaidy then again.
What's the chat like in the community? I mean, are people coming in?
They're delighted. Like, you know, young and old supporters there, like, it was fantastic. Like, you know, to see the boys bringing back the cup there, like, it is...
Sure. And I was going to say Bill, of course. Are you getting advice now? I mean, you're in the semi-finals. Are you walking down the main street and Kilfleen and something rolls up the window and says you'll need to tighten up now the next day? You're playing. Of course, Kilmaidy. Of course, God help us. You got nothing easy. You're looking forward to Kilmaidy now at this stage. Are people giving you advice?
We didn't venture too far to Kilfleen, I don't think, that week. We stayed out. We stayed at home. We went to the Banna on Sunday morning, I think, and we went to the recovery suites then on Monday evening, and off we went then training again for the week, because at that stage you had only a week's recovery after extra time and penalties, and it was more the emotion of it and everything, like, just took its toll, and got ready for Kilmaidy, and another step before a final is we wanted to get one over on the previous year against Ballyduff, so one step at a time, and took it as it was, and any advice we got was from the man here beside us, and that was it.
The Kilmaidy game, Adam, you're looking forward to it. What would the record be like with Kilmaidy down the years heading into this one? Was this one where it was very heavy on one side?
Just Kilmaidy over the last 20 years or so, they have been one of the top teams in Kerry Hurling. You know, there's they know how to win. They've gone on, they've gone all the way to Munsters and All Ireland. So for us, it was going to be a massive challenge, but something that we relished. And it was, as Bill was saying, like, we did go the hard way through it all. Like, we had come through causeway, so we did have momentum as well. Like, that quarter final match for us was a massive stepping stone. People out there kind of call that the game of the championship. So to come out on the right side of that, you do have momentum going in facing Kinwiley. And again, it was a brutal night, wind and rain. So we were down 4 points with 4 minutes to go playing against the storm, and we somehow came out on top with a smash and grab. But thankfully, it all worked out in the end, and we were on then to face our near neighbours, Lixna, in a county final, which is something that you probably dream of growing up, to get into a county final, which the fellas you grew up with around the road.
God, I'm waiting. We're getting fiercely excited. Of course, we'll look forward to the final, but first we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry. Donald Berry sitting in the hot seat. I'm joined by Brendan Mahoney, of course. Mahoney or O'Mahoney, actually?
Mahoney, there's no O in it, and everyone puts an O in it.
Well, here we go.
There's no O
in Mahoney. Apart from the middle bit when there's an O there, but it's not O'Mahoney.
No,
okay.
No.
So you're a pure North Kerry Mahoney, not a South Kerry O'Mahoney.
No, pure North Kerry, yeah.
Well, that's good to know now. Anyway. That's our piece now, Ivan, for next week, just to make sure all North Kerry know it. Bill Keane, that's with a capital Keane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. And Adam, you're definitely no Sullivan, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, God Almighty, thank God it's you. And Mike, it wouldn't sound great, Mike O'Parker, would it?
No.
If you went to America or something, you'd be Michael Parker. Anyway, they're all here with us, and we're talking about Crotta, and of course their amazing year, and of course it's the first time, Mike, since 1968 winning the championship, the title. Did that go on an awful long time? I mean, you're a great Crotta supporter. You had a few near misses and you got close, and but never over the line. Does that get more disappointing the longer it goes?
It does, all right, yeah. Like I'm saying, every year, like say the last one in 72, 79, 85 and 86, and 98-99 by point in the 98.
You like to lose them back to back, really, don't you?
Yeah, we're kind of alright. But thanks be God, the boys got the monkey off the back.
Is that hard in? I mean, obviously, as a Crotta man supporter, the whole lot, and you've seen the people a generation back or 15 years ago and 20 years ago getting close and not getting over the line, and then you see your neighbours all around you, some of them winning them for fun nearly every year. Is there kind of an angst there in the pride section, saying, God, like, I know we're as good as this, I know we should be as good as them, I know we should have possibly won 3 or 4 of the 5 or 10 that we lost over the years and the whole lot. Does that come into it, or is it just very clear and analytical, this is this year's group, this is the challenge ahead? But is there a bit of thinking in the background saying that, Jesus, it's 1968, we need to get motoring, lads?
No, we never mentioned anything about past. You know, we were in 2023, to be honest, and we never mentioned the past, really. I don't think it was ever mentioned. This was a different group. These lads had no baggage. They had won a lot. You know, a lot of the lads have won 2 knockers, seen a football championship, so we were sensing, and so there was no baggage with the lads. They didn't want to know about 1968 or 1972 or any of those. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, you know, even back in my own time, 98, 99, we never brought that up at all. We had a group. They were focused on winning the county championship from the end of January, and that's what we dwelt on, really. You know, that was our focus, and we didn't look at the past at all. Mm-hmm. We were very driven, really, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's all about the future, and it's about moving forward. The final, Bill.
Yeah.
God Almighty, I had you about 46 wide, said you?
20, I think they said. I know, I was at the opposite end of the field, so I wasn't too bad.
Was there some wides worse than other wides?
They were rough enough now, I'd say, most of them.
Yeah. You're in a game, you're in complete control, to be fair, but you're still not putting away the opposition. Is there still a bit of a fear in the fullback and the goalkeeper? I mean, you were involved in a smash and grab. I mean, you haven't really put a team away. You're still better than them. Was there a bit of kind of, God, are we going to get over the line here at the end with 10 minutes to go, or were you in control?
There was a fear until the whistle was blown, I suppose. Because we lived on a knife edge there towards the end of the game. Like, they got, I think, did they get 2 or 3 goal chances? And Adam got his marching orders as well for my own problems. And it kind of didn't help, like, but at the end, it kind of made it all the sweeter to be under pressure. And I know the supporters probably weren't happy with us that we went down that far, but it made it all the sweeter for us when when the final whistle went and everyone was down the backs to the wall, stuff at the
describe the final whistle, because obviously teams come in and whether they're under 12 or they're senior or they're masters or they win medals, that moment when you know, you genuinely know that we won it, you know, and semi-finals you're getting there, quarter-finals you're winning, it's great, it's part of the journey, but the final whistle is over, the war is over in a sense. I mean, you've beaten everything in North Kerry and over in Dr. Crokes as well to get there. You're fully deserving champions. What's that moment like then? Do you celebrate it with Adam, or do you celebrate, or do the Cross supporters come in so fast you don't know who's around the field, they're all jumping and celebrating?
Relief, I suppose, at the start, and then all of a sudden you're engulfed by young fellas, old fellas and your players, and you don't know where you are. And I think I was called off then to go back up to the stand, but I told them to go away for a few minutes anyway, because it took so long to get there. You may as well enjoy it while you have it. And most of the 10 or 15 minutes we were out in the field there, just pure elation between everyone, players, management, supporters, everyone got coming in, hugging you and shaking your hand and everything, and just pure elation. I wouldn't be able to describe how it was properly in a couple of words, to be honest.
Yeah, Adam, it's the same for you. I mean, you're going to county finals year after year. You're seeing Causeway win and Kilmiley win, and you know them. They're your friends, obviously, because it's a small enough community. But this is your own community. This is your own gang. This is your own Bill, and this is your own Shane and the whole lot. What's that moment like?
I was just pure, probably, emotion, really, at the very end. Once you could take it over the line to see grown men cry, like, with pure happiness. It was very emotional, something that was we would treasure forever. Like, you know, people that had trained and played with Crotter for so long and never reaped the rewards that we did, and they fell at hurdles of county finals and stuff like that. Like, it was for them to see Crotter win, it was something that we take great pride in as well. When the final whistle went, like, the people coming in off the stand, it was just mayhem. Like, it was unreal altogether to see fellas coming in with Crotter flags, Crotter jerseys, just a sea of red and green.
They're great colours, aren't they?
They're great colours.
Come here, Brendan. Was the speech up to standard? It was a solid six or seven, know, was it? Or did you even hear it?
I didn't hear much of it, to be honest with you, because I got this... I was away back at the back of the crowd, and I wasn't near the lads at all, but look... It's something that you dream of, really, to be honest, you know. And his speech was top class, in fairness. But look, that, as you said, like, we saw Kilmiley's and Ballyduff's and Causeway's, and we wanted our piece of the cake as well, you know. But I knew the week before the match we were in fairly good shape, you know. I was disappointed with the wides, of course, and to be hanging on at the end, 20 wides, really, you know, it showed our dominance in the game. Mm-hmm. That's not taken away from Dick Snell. Like, I mean, it could have been a smash and grab. The lads were in the goal line there, like, and, you know, they were saving them with everything they had, like, hanging on, you know. So, but it was a brilliant occasion, and brilliant for our supporters as well, and for people that had gone as well, you know. It was just nice. It was a fantastic occasion, really, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Parker, I suppose there was nobody out that night, was there?
No, there was not. No, like, things, they came from all over the place, like, from all parishes and everything, like, you know, great Cross supporters.
You sing songs and play music and all that kind of crap?
Sing songs and then drink port and drink Cronin cider and everything.
The Lixnaw stuff, is it?
The Lixnaw stuff is right, yeah.
But you're really rubbing it in some. Come here to me, you're on a new journey now, of course. I mean, sure, that was one thought about 8 months ago or something. It feels like old history now at this stage. How, Brendan, from a side of that, like, I mean, some teams now are, we'll say you're going in playing the Waterford champions, Ferrybank, in the next couple of weeks. They're kind of only off the field, having kind of finished their kind of battles and the whole lot. And to be fair to Ferrybank, they weren't favourites to come out of their group either. Yeah. And they kind of motored away. I imagine there was a James McCarthy below in Waterford writing them off as well. Even Capoquin for the final, Capoquin were going to win, and that was it. So they've come through that journey. Is it an advantage or a plus or a minus, or is it just the way it is that you just have to wait the 3 months? I presume you weren't sitting around in a car park.
To be honest with you, you know, it was great to be waiting. It was great to be in that position, because for something we were never in that position for. So we took about 6 weeks off, 5 to 6 weeks off, and we let the lads enjoy themselves and relax. But, you know, we're back now 3 or 4 weeks, and things are going pretty well again now, you know. We're getting the training in and getting the challenge games in, you know, and preparing. And we know, like, we've seen Ferrybank play in the county final, and we know we're up against a very, very tough physical side. They are very, very physical. So we know the challenge ahead, but we're looking forward to the challenge, to be honest. So it's great to be there.
And Bill, they have a big guy called Mark O'Brien. Sure, you watched him. Well, I mean, he scores 114 at a game, like, no 20
points. Full, I suppose. I have to get on the team first.
Well, that's true, of course. God, I hope you didn't winter well for those 6 weeks. When you get 6 weeks break and a break away from it, actually, Bill, I mean, like, you work so hard in that bubble and you're training every night and you're playing every night and you're maybe getting injured or maybe getting better from injury and the whole lot. A little break in the middle of the summer.
It wasn't much of a break, I'd say, because we were out the following Sunday playing football.
Absolutely.
In the club championship against Keith.
Are you Sinnins?
Yeah, we're Sinnins. Like, most fellas were out the following week. So we didn't get much of a time to hang around. And
you just played, put away the small stick and take
just
up
put away
ball.
The hurling and the slitter and the helmet for a couple of weeks. And
you're tearing to it again.
Back at it now again.
Is that hard, Adam? Are you on the...
I played football up as far as minor, and I concentrated in the small ball after that.
Okay.
So
you're a pure hurling man.
I am, yeah.
None of these Bill Keane's kind of half and half.
There is about over three quarters of the team, I suppose, would be playing both codes, so there isn't many of us that are stuck on the
small
ball. Is
that hard to watch in that sense? I mean, you look at the dual, I suppose, inter-county thing at the moment, and people say, oh God, they're playing hurling today, and they must travel down the road 4 hours and play football the next day. Is it a tough balance? You're watching your colleagues in that balance. Do you say, God, I mean, they have a hard old going, or do you say, Ayrshire, it is fine for Bill?
No, it definitely is hard. You know, we're busy and we're only playing one sport. Not to mind the boys trying to balance the two. Do you know that we could be training Tuesday, Thursday. The lads might have to go training Wednesday with football. So what we do, whenever they're playing, we go and support them as well as much as we can. So in fairness to them, it's fair to use them for playing both codes and for keeping it up on both sides. There's a lot of credit going to them, in fairness.
Of course, there's football in the family, is there?
There is, yeah. Small bit anyway.
There's an unlikely uncle that plays a bit of football, or used to play a bit of football.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He's possibly played down South Kerry herself, I think, was it?
He was back in Drummond for a while. He used to be saying mass in Filemore, and he'd go off to play football for Jack O'Connor. Good man. A good man's roar to ref too, actually.
Oh, jeez.
Not that holy at times. Good evening, Father. To be fair, I suppose there aren't too many priests playing football anymore, but he came down to South Kerry, and quite a good footballer as well. Not a full-back, though. Definitely not. Kind of a little corner forward.
Side of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Come here to me. Obviously, you're heading to Munster. It's a new challenge. It's a new battle. It's a new journey. And you need to fundraise for, don't you, Mike?
That's right, yeah, it's correct, yeah. The club there at the moment, they're going doing a fundraising draw there. They're calling it 23,000 draw giveaway. The first prize is 10,000, 4,000, 2,000, and 7,000, 1,000. Tickets are on sale at the moment at €25 or 5 for 100. They can contact any club office or they're for sale in the bars there in Kilflame.
God, you can give it a better push than that. How important is it to support this?
I'm saying that I know there's fantastic supporters there, like, on behalf of the club, I'd like to thank the supporters for putting up flags before the match, even getting cars and buntings, and also the players are great ambassadors to the club before the game and after the game, and, you know, like that, going around to schools with the cup, and the cup is in every house in the parish and every nursing home, or, you know, everything like that, you know, it is.
It's part of the community, isn't that what it is?
Yeah, but yeah. They're great ambassadors of the club, like in the management as well. Like, now, ask anything you want, they'll give, like.
Yeah, that's important. Come here to me, as a club executive. I mean, I know loads of fellas that are on club executives and secretaries and chairmen and PROs, and to be fair, it's a fairly thankless job at the best of times. You know, everyone has an idea on how you should do it better and how you can do it more and put more time into the whole lot. But the amount of work that's needed to sustain a team to win a county championship, first of all, I mean, you must be meeting night after night after night.
There's a lot of meetings out at the moment, like getting buses there for the lads going up there, make sure they get enough of meals going up, like, and, you know, training and stuff like that, gear and that, like, you know, even supporters buses there at the moment as well as being organised. So if anyone wants a seat in that bus there to what they call it, Castle Town Road, there, you know, contact club offices there at the moment as well.
Brilliant, absolutely.
I want to get the flags and buntings up again, you know, super. To support the lads.
If they can't find anything, the Crotty O'Neill's Facebook page and that's the whole lot, all the information is on that.
There, yeah.
What am I saying? Brendan, is it nice to be just a manager and not worried about that side of it? or do you have to worry about that side of it too?
No, I have enough to worry about myself, to be honest with you, when you're looking after 30 or 33 or 4 players.
You just put them on the bus.
Look, you know, I always like training teams, and I you know, I have great help. I have a great man with me in Johnny Horgan. And I have great support from all the club officers. You know, Paul Toomey is down there always cutting the pitch. He always has the gear out for me before we go training. You know, Darren Hoolan is there, in fairness. That's great help. Everyone put the shoulder to the wheel. So my job is easy enough. You know, the stuff is there for me for training. The stuff is there for the lads. You know, I don't have to worry about putting it away or anything like that. It's not like years ago you'd be lugging stuff out, you know, cones, slitters, you know, poles and everything.
But making 5 or 6 trips to the car and back down to the field.
No, all that stuff is always laid out for me every night. So it's just, you know, put the lads through their paces and get the most out of them, you know, and it's been great. So we're really, really looking forward to 2 weeks next Sunday now, and you know, representing Kerry as well, like, you know, I mean, we're representing our club and our parish, but we're also representing Kerry, like, in fairness, you know. So we're going out there, we think we have a 50-50 chance.
Fair play. Jeez, I'd say he gives a great team talk, does he?
I don't want to know.
You're on the back of the reel.
Well, we'll keep that secret a secret. So, listen, guys. Listen, thanks very much, Brendan, Bill, Adam, of course, and Mike Parker. Definitely not O'Parker, no.
No, not yet, anyway.
Yeah, it would sound good, Mike O'Parker, to be fair. You'd certainly sell more tickets over in America if you headed over that way, I'd imagine. And you need all the money. But listen, guys, the very best of luck. It's a great story. It's well told. And it's, sorry it took so long to recognise it, but sure, you've been celebrating every night and all that. And Bill's been playing football for the last 3 months. He can't come in either, but look, it's great to see you here, and I just can't wait to tell James McCarthy that I touched this big huge cup here and tis not going to kill Miley. Isn't that
to tell James as well, like, you know, not to be dismissing us either, you know. We had for him, and he said, I didn't know where this came out of.
Well, hopefully he doesn't back you for the Munster Championship now. He'll be all on board.
Tell James that.
I will, of course. Listen, thanks very much. Great story, but it's only part one of another great story that we're going to tell just after the break, because we're going to catch up with Trilly Parnells, and they too are heading to Munster as champions, of course, intermediate champions, and they'll have Stephen Buttermore, they'll have Kevin O'Mahony, Kyle Dunn and Mark Roy. Right, and we'll talk to him after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Of course, we're just after leaving the Crotta out the door. And God almighty, these guys are met to play senior hurling, so they're back in straight away with the Intermediate Cup. And of course, we're talking to Tralee Parnells, and delighted to have Stephen Buttermore, Kevin Mahoney, the manager, Cathal Dunn, and Ronan Gilsonen. There's no one that differently. It's a proper Gilsonen there. Where's Gilsonen from?
My dad actually originally from Navan in County Meath.
The home of hurling.
Yeah, close enough, yeah. Navan and Tralee, two hurling strongholds.
Fair play to you. Well, absolutely. Well, you are a hurling stronghold. Stephen, first of all, congratulations. I mean...
Thank you.
This has been building and building and building. You kind of got close to here that the Crokes kind of pushed
exactly.
You off the cliff. But then you kind of went down a little bit and then you've come around the corner again. It takes a while to get up to this level, doesn't it?
It sure does. We're 11 years in existence this year as a club, as a juvenile club. And we went senior in 2019. We applied for senior in 2019 because we wanted somewhere for our juvenile hurlers to progress to, you know. And as you say, since then, we've been trying to win it 5 years. This is our fifth year trying to win this cup, and this was always the target. I hit the crossbar, as I said, a few times. In the COVID year, 2020, we met Crokes in the final, and they, fair play to them, they got over the line. We've been in a few semi-finals and a quarter-final, but thankfully this year we got over the line, and delighted to do so.
Mm-hmm. And of course you got over the line in kind of a special way, because if not all the players that you have, you kind of ushered them through that kind of catchway of the journey up along.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I won't say quite all of them, but you know, quite a lot of them, such as Cathal here beside me, have come through juveniles, and thankfully when we went senior, obviously we didn't have a 15 or 20 senior players, so the likes of Ronan came in from Stax, the Stax hurling team, and they came in with us, and they really helped us drive on, and then to bring the younger players through, so the likes of Eddie Sheehy and Darren Maloney and guys like that coming on to the senior team now. And we have a great cohort coming through, like we have the Fela winning team from a couple of years ago. They're 16, 17 now, so you know, we really needed to ensure we had a senior team such that they can then drive on and bring it on, and to ensure that the hurling survives in Tralee and gets even stronger.
Yeah, and of course the Fela is an important enough jigsaw to that puzzle as well, because I mean, you obviously need to bring younger players up and get them to a level and get them to taste how to win and
correct.
Winning All Ireland, and 'tis nice, and I'm not saying that they move on, but they stay with you and they have that memory, and it builds the club around that as well. I mean, that's a bit of a journey in itself, and it's also putting you out there nationally in the sense that, oh wow, Tralee Parnells, I mean, we thought...
That's it, yeah. Like, you know, for a few years ago, even people are still asking me, oh, is it hurling in Tralee? Is there such Tralee Parnells? Never heard of them. But now, as you say, we're starting to get a bit of notice now. As you know, we're going to be playing in Munster in a few weeks. We've made the decision to go senior next year. And as you say, now the juveniles have something to look forward to. There's a great bunch coming up, as you say, with the Fela team, and there's a great cohort coming behind them. So really, it's so important that we have a strong senior setup, and that they can look up to and they can aspire to playing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, a Ballyhig man.
Correct.
Spreading the great word around Tralee.
Yeah, I suppose I came into the Parnells about just through David Brick and Mark Rail, really, I suppose. I work with David, so he asked me to get involved, and I'm
hard man to say no to David Brick.
Yeah, in fairness to him, he does a lot of work around the club. Everyone will agree with that, but another not Kerry man. But yeah, so I'm in there 3 years now. I was a selector for the first year, and then I took over last year as the manager.
Mm-hmm. I suppose in a sense people talk about senior hurling, talk about intermediate hurling. It's a different brand for a while, I suppose, because I suppose it's at the lower even. Obviously we're in a football county, everybody says football, and hurling is kind of pushed down there. Intermediate's probably pushed maybe a little bit down. Is it hard to get teams together? Is it hard to get players together? Is it hard to get them to do the buy-in? Is it hard to get over the line? Obviously it took 5 years, so it's a...
Yeah, I suppose we were thereabouts now nearly every year that they were in it, and in fairness to the lads, I suppose we went back training in February, I suppose, and you know there were nights, all right, where the numbers were low, but that happens at every club because you've lads in college and you've lads doing, you know, with football. Like, we are picking from a lot of football clubs, but in fairness to the football clubs, when the intermediate championship was coming up and when it was on, we had full access to the players, and you know, that was great, and you know that they could fully focus on their hurling, and you know there was nothing, they weren't being flogged during, so we just had them, so we had them two nights a week with a game, and that was it. So.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Ron, your own journey ended with St Brendan in the final.
It did, yeah, and I'm actually living out in Hartford as well myself at the moment, so it's kind of nice to get one over on them.
God, why did you bring the cup out the next night? You were a brave man to go back out to Hartford. But it lends to the whole idea that there is a rivalry, because you mentioned David Brick, obviously Kilmiley, you were Ballyhig, me living out in Hartford, coming in around. The word for Tralee, obviously you have to bring in until you get him from inside to grow up, and that's kind of important, but talked about winning it, the importance of winning, the importance of being able to go out and say, you might have 4 senior medals, but I have this.
It's not that I have this, it's Tralee Parnells have this. Like, this is absolutely huge for the club, and our team is actually very, very young, an awful lot of them, like, so it's great for them to get senior status, and then for the young lads coming up, not just the Fela winning teams, but the other lads that are playing away. So if they see us now playing senior hurling next year, that's going to be absolutely huge for them. There's a big crowd in there against St Brendan's, you know, and they were all there. They got to come on the pitch. We were signing hurleys and everything. Like, I'm hurling, 25 years as an adult hurler. I've never been asked to sign a hurley on the pitch after a game, like, so that was new for me as well. Like, it's brilliant. And even last year, like, our juniors, we won the South Kerry over in Fitzgerald Stadium. Again, unbelievable for the club to do it. Like, so every year we're kind of progressing more and more, getting better and better, and the club's getting bigger and bigger. And we will always be fighting football clubs for players. There's no doubt about it in Kerry. But when you see your number one team and number two team winning trophies, you're inspiring the young lads to stay playing around with the club, like.
Mm-hmm. Carl, what's it like to have an intermediate medal put in your back pocket, or do you put them in back pockets out in Ballymac, or do you put them up in walls maybe?
We do whatever, but I'm happy to have it. Like, it's a great achievement for any player of my age and any player in the club.
When did you jump in hurling at the start? How did you arrive down? I mean, obviously you didn't come from Navan or wherever, or out first, I mean, but you rocked in through, I imagine, the juvenile section and worked way up there, is it?
I did, yeah. I started around under 12s, I think. We took a break from football, about 5 or 6 of us said we'd give hurling a go. For a year we started with it and we stuck to it since.
How was the attraction?
I don't know.
Why hurling? I mean, was it the helmets? Was it the sticks? Was it the fact that you can pull everything and kick everything and chase up and down the field? Is it the skill level? Is that the attraction? Is it like when you watch the Kilkennys and the Tipperary's play, you say, God, you know, they're really good. I'd love a bit of that.
It is really, yeah. My father's a Galway man as well, so that was a driving factor. And I love watching the game as well. Like, it's beautiful to watch all the top teams play, and that's what you strive to be doing in the future, like.
Mm-hmm. And of course the team ethic is very important, Carl, and I suppose it's like everything, a winning team kind of pushes themselves forward again and again and again. But to win that final against St Brendan's, I mean, you didn't do the lap of honour out in Ardfert, obviously, but you brought the good word out to Ballymac, did you?
We did, of course, yeah. We brought it back to pub in Ballymac to halfway the night of it. Bit of a homecoming there, because there's a good few of us from Ballymac, so thought it'd be the right place.
Yeah. There's a lot of kind of jigsaws moving around the place, Stephen. I mean, you're talking about, I won't say battling football, but you have to balance the whole football thing. You have younger players coming in. You probably have picked a couple of players who just are living Tralee and they love hurling, and they bring an awful lot of experience to the thing as well. Is that a hard juggle?
It is, to be fair. It is, but you know, we are an ecumenical club. You know, we welcome all the players that play
all
football.
All believers
in.
And none.
All believers and none. Yes, we have some one or two players in the senior team that just play hurling or maybe another sport, not football, but the majority play both sports. So when they're younger, you know, they come from Ballymac, St. Pat's and all the town teams, Nagoya, Stacks, Stranraer, you know, Churchill, they all come into us. And when they come in, they're Tralee Parnells. And you know what? My own son is playing, and I think he's probably made his best friends through the hurling club, because they really get on together. Just all the football rivalries are left aside, you know, when they come in the gate of Carsley and they all play together. And I think I even see it in with the hurlers, you know, when they get together, the senior hurlers, you know, there's a great camaraderie there. But it is tough, like Kevin, I'm sure, will tell you now. You know, we won this cup, what, nearly 12 weeks ago now. And we're trying to train for Munster, and it's been really hard to get the lads together because they're in with their football clubs. But to be fair, you know we there's give and take on both sides, but it's hard going. But you know, once you know, the footballers understand where we're coming from, you know, we love having them in as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, like you said, you have to balance that, and it's about balancing. Is that a hard balance for a manager though?
It's
a different balance, obviously. I mean, I suppose, look, Jack O'Connor, they're all going to turn up to training, and he's not going to say there's nine of them training.
Yeah,
hurling
even,
tonight.
I suppose, just take when I hurled with Billy High, we'll say we had very little hurling, so it was just all hurling. But it can, some days you'd have you pulling your hair out and stuff, but you know, you just get used to it. And I suppose we kind of set aside training on Mondays and Wednesdays, and none of the football clubs really train on Mondays and Wednesdays, so that was the hurling night really in the town, and then the footballers were on maybe Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or whichever. So it kind of worked well this year because our games were as well around Wednesdays, and it didn't affect guys weren't playing two games in the weekend, where last year we were Division 1, the hurlers were playing a hurling game on Friday night and football again maybe Saturday or Sunday, and it was very tough, and we were picking up a lot of injuries, so it can be tough that way. But yeah, it takes a lot of planning really with the whole management team, you know, trying to get lads down to the field, and just making sure they're fresh really as well for games and stuff is the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the freshness is important. Big game, of course, the banner of Clare. Surprise, I actually know where that field is. You know, it was amazing. Years and years ago when I was in college, I used to play legal with a football club in Clare, and we couldn't play against Aero because they'd know who you were. But the banner was just a small club, fledgling enough club actually at the time. It's obviously Clare. Clare know how to hurl.
Yeah.
Is this a big ask? Is this a big excitement? Is this a big challenge? How would you look at this game?
Yeah, it is a big challenge for the boys. But look, the banner, they have the experience of playing in the competition from last year because they played Kilgarvan and they got to the semi final against St. Kieran and Limerick, so they'll have that experience. But yeah, I suppose, look, they're coming down to Tralee. Our boys, you know, they have a big confidence in their own ability. They won't lack for anything on the day. Like, and they're just really looking forward to the challenge, really.
Mm-hmm. Ron, are you looking forward to this?
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm a Shannon man. I'm from Clare, so once we heard we were drawn against Clare opposition, I was delighted just to hear it. Like, and give a good crack against them, all right? Yeah.
God, why, you have the whole family and watching us, so their side and everything.
I said I might come down all right and watch it, make a weekend out of it. So, but no, like as Kevin said, like the banner do have experience, like they were down last year playing Kilgarvan, but we know the level they are, we know the level we are, and I think it's probably going to be a good 50-50 game. Like,
yeah, Carl, is it nice to be looking forward to a Munster Championship? I mean, it sounds great on the CV, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's very exciting, right? Like, something I've never done in many of the players on our team. I've never got that far. It's a big achievement for us.
Mm-hmm. Every Monday evening as I drive into Terrace Talk, I mean, I pass nearly, I don't know, it gets bigger and bigger, the amount of hurlers over in the Tralee Sea Base, and they're inside the two fields, and I don't know whether they're the good team or the bad team, or they're the young team or the old team, but there seems to be a massive amount of younger players in Tralee with hurlies.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's growing more and more every year. It's great to see as well, because it drives us on to push the senior, and to see what we've coming up behind us is keeps us going, because we still are a very young team. Most players would be under the age of 25.
Yeah. The nuts and bolts of hosting a game?
Challenging, Donal. I suppose I've been looking for a feel for the last month. Thankfully, our neighbours and John Mitchell's agreed to allow us to use their pitching facilities, for which I'm very grateful. The Aston Sax Park was unavailable to us, so you know, it's been challenging. Now we can start the preparations. We have just less than 2 weeks to go, so we'll probably need to get the Parnells community going, you know, to get the banners and the flags out, and work with the guys in Mitchell's, you know, to make sure everything's okay in the day. But everyone's starting to think about it now. The Ballymac have their final on Saturday.
I didn't want to mention that.
And I want to wish Carl and his teammates very well in that. So, and you know, Nagael will be finished on Saturday. So then, you know, the football, the club football in Kerry kind of will be, you know, winding down. And then hopefully we can get the guys in, on it.
Well, Carl will be thinking of Ballymac going on Munster journeys then of their own as well.
With the help of God, yeah.
They'll be out every night. It's a great story. I mean, the history, of course, going back to the name and Tralee Parnells, and you were senior 100 years ago, and we were talking to Crotton and the whole lot. But if you do look at the chart, Tralee Parnells are down there with, is it 3 or 4 or 5 titles from another time, yeah, or whatever it was. How conscious is this, that history, or is this just a new club based on that name? I mean, you can't really knit that, can you?
Those of us that have been in the club since the beginning, are like, I'm not quite there since the beginning, but since nearly the beginning, are aware of the history, okay, the 2 county championships back in the 100 years ago or so. But no, for the younger players like Carl and the people coming up, it's a new club. They want to drive on Tralee Parnells. Yes, we have a name from 100 years ago, but really it's a new club, a new set of people involved. And you know, really looking forward to driving it on. And as I say, you know, we had a club meeting, including the players there, a couple of weeks ago, and we made the decision to go senior. You know, well, there was obviously a swell. We have the entitlement to go senior now, but there's more than just the entitlement. So there's obviously this cost. There's a lot more involved.
Yeah, well, you've won the right for it.
You've won the right.
You've jumped that hurdle, and it's a decision that clubs don't take lightly, because, as you said, for all the pluses, there's obviously something on the other side of the ledger as well, which is difficult, and can we sustain it and the whole lot. But to have the ambition, first of all, to go senior, I mean, that must be greatly positive.
Yeah, I was delighted that was the result, and all the players overwhelmingly, you know, bar none, said we want to go senior. You know, so for me that's great, and the hard work that's gone on over the last 11 years is now really coming to fruition, that we can say we're a senior club. We'll be playing senior county championship next year. You know,
Kevin, more responsibility being a senior manager. My God, I might think you'll have to up training at least 4 nights a week, you know?
Jesus, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it will be a big jump, and you know, kind of say to the players,
you'll draw belly high, surely. So that's written in the stone already, is it?
Yeah,
Crotta, belly high, and maybe Crokes.
That's it, yeah.
Sure. We'll top that group.
Brendan Drain, Billy Hyde, so, you know, Brendan well. Yeah, look, it's going to be a massive step up, of course. But look, anyone that plays hurling in Kerry has an ambition to play senior. So I think, you know, the players were kind of talking, you know, that they really wanted to go for it. You know, like if they decide to stay down intermediate, there's no guarantee that they could win it next year and come back up and say they could come up back up then in 2 years. So look, they got the opportunity. Like Stephen said, I think the players voted, every one of them said they wanted to go. And look, it gives the guys, the young guys that played, that won the Féile, maybe it was 2 years ago or last year, to know something that they can drive on to know in 2 or 3 years' time and play with the Cahills and all the rest of the lads. On
and of course, there's a few Tralee Parnell club names popping up in the intercounty senior team as well. I mean, they might be down the back order or whatever. They are
in with Kerry for a while.
You know, they're there, and that's hugely positive. And that's all the steps. Listen, guys, we're running out of time. I want to wish you the very best luck. Obviously, we'll follow the journey. Absolutely, win or lose, come back and talk to us and the whole lot. We have a Tralee Parnells place. Best of luck to Ballymac. And Listowel, just so I don't upset the following listeners. And I was thinking there, as you were mentioning about seniors, I mean, obviously we're going to be talking about the senior county championship in the football side of it as well. There's going to be more senior hurling clubs in Kerry than there is actually football clubs. That's a big debate now to have, isn't it? And we'll have that one after the break. Listen, the very best of luck going home to all your Clare friends.
Thank you.
And you know, it's a proud moment. Big moment from the Ballyhig Mountains. Something says you're living back in Mid Kerry, are you?
I am. Back in Mid Kerry. Ballyhig Mountain, Mid Kerry.
What part of Mid Kerry?
Come on.
Oh, that's proper Mid Kerry, yeah.
That's it.
Are you near Dukes and can you see the beach or can you see the shellfish?
I can go right across the door from Jack's.
Oh, right. Okay, good stuff. So. That's where the couple will be going. So, yes. Listen, guys.
Could I just say one more thing, Don, if you don't mind, too? We've made great strides in the 10 or 11 years. We've called out for volunteers. You know, there's a great cohort of people in the club, but we always want more to come in, whether they want to line the field or pour the cup of tea or help train the kids. You know, we welcome anyone. You know, don't be shy. Come in the gate in Carsley, talk to us. So it's really important for us to now maintain the progress that we can build on that.
Yeah, you need to build. You have the players, you have the team, you manage. You need to build the club.
Correct. Yeah, you don't have a clubhouse. You don't have a pitch, but we have a community. We have a small community. We want to get a bigger community.
Yeah, and sure, with a look, you can replace that with a Munster Cup there in a couple of weeks' time as well.
Fingers crossed.
You'll be joining in. We'll take a break. Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and of course after that full great hour of talking hurling and the whole lot, we wish of course Crotta and Tralee Parnells the very best of luck in their Munster Championships, and hopefully they'll bring back a bit more silverware, and we're bringing back a bit of silverware, and John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan on the line. Well, John Kennedy has silverware. Liam, did you have you any silverware, Liam?
There are a small few bits and pieces thrown around the place.
Jesus, oh, imagine, yeah. In a matchbox or in a biscuit tin?
Yeah, a bit of a biscuit tin now, I think. I can't find them. My mother has it, so I'll have to call up some there.
To be well safe if your mother has it. Come here. Of course, we're talking about county championship medals, and only two teams can win the county championship now, East Kerry and Mid Kerry. Liam Brosnan, from the very word go, you picked these two teams. No real surprise that they are there?
No real surprise. Like I said last Monday night to Donal, I thought the Meath-Kerry Dingle game was going, whoever was going to come out of that, it was going to stand them in great state heading into the final, which I predicted kind of East Kerry, and I got look the whole county would. But yeah, I was very impressed with Meath-Kerry the weekend. I thought, no, there was something, I said it a couple of times during the year, I thought they were just missing that little bit of a bite or that bit of an edge. By God, was it there Saturday night. I thought it was their best performance that I've seen them in the last 2 years, and probably the best team performance of the weekend out of the games. So yeah, it's going to make a very interesting final. I think what showed in Dingle as well, I think the tiredness has set in a small bit. They're after a long road. Even though they'll be disappointed, I think this might stand them in good stead as well, because there's a little bit of a break now before they head into the month. The campaign refreshes things and get things going again. Because look, just a few stats. When you look at Dingle, they had 20 shots and they only scored 9. Probably their worst performance all year. But you got to give credit to Meath Kerry for that, because Meath Kerry went out. They actually man-marked their main players and did a very good job at it. At times it was on the verge. It was on the edge of, you know,
the way you like it,
of boiling, and the way, yeah, you know, nice teams don't win county championships, nice teams don't win anything, really. You know, you got to have that little bit of an edge, and Meath Kerry brought that to the table Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed with them. Nathan Breen, fullback, Mike Breen, and all their main players really stood up. Sean O'Brien and Gavin around the middle of the field. You know, and the only thing that I would say for them going into the final, they will have to, I know you'll worry about East Kerry, but they'll have to play their own game. They'll really have to go at East Kerry on the scoreboard, keep the scoreboard ticking over, because if you sit back and you let East Kerry come at you, you're going to be under pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, they went at Dingle Saturday night from the war go. They clocked up 3-10 at the end of the game, which was a huge scoring. And if they can do that again in the final, they won't be too far away.
Yeah, good stuff. Come here, John Kennedy, we'll focus on that Mid-Kerry-Dingle game. Before we start asking you the real hard questions, were you surprised that Mid-Kerry won it so handily in the end?
I was, being honest with you, Donald, because look, when we were talking about it Monday night there, I said that Mid-Kerry would have to give their best display of the year, and they did that. And I thought, first of all, they got that matchup spot on. Being honest with you, I thought Nathan Breen was outstanding inside in the full back line. I thought the half back line of David Roach, Mike Breen and Patrick Kinney were superb defensively, but also on the attack. And Killian Burke really showed up, and I think his goal before half time was crucial. And also the intrigue for Clifford and Tom O'Sullivan, he actually stopped the Dingleman playing as such, as well as playing his own link game. So I thought they got the matchups right. But I have to agree with Liam. I thought while Mid-Kerry gave their best display and there was energy about them and pace, the opposite could be said at Ingle. They were flat. They weren't buzzing around as usual. And 2 points in the second half, you know, I think it tells its own story. 1 point from play in the first half. So, like, you know, the writing was on the wall for them. I think it was a flat display by Dingle, but not taking away from Mid-Kerry, from Sean Coffey out, they were really outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you when you said only 2 points in the second half, John, I mean, the fact is they didn't score for 32 minutes of that second half. I mean, this was a Dingle team that were building up all year, that were a goal machine in a sense, and points and the whole lot. They looked very fatigued, though, very unusual.
They did look very fatigued, and it's been a long run, and a lot of people have been speaking about this, Donal, at club level in particular, you know, playing 8 or 9 or 10 weeks in a row, training as well, keeping to that and playing at that level. And Dingle have set the bar this year. They've been the foreign team right throughout the club campaign, and, you know, even in the county championship. But, you know, they hit a wall last Saturday evening. But it would be taken away from Mid-Kerry's display to zone in on the negatives of Dingle. I thought they were outstanding. And you look at the Mid-Kerry bench, Liam and myself have been talking about this all year. You know, when you can look at Darragh Cleary, he came on, he kicked 1-2. The goal was just sheer class. He took it in, he eyeballed the keeper, and he put it in he floated in to the net. Another guy would kick it off the keeper, he'd take it too far and be turned over. But these things seem to go right from Jack O'Connor, likewise, a guy with huge potential. Look, just side-footed the ball to the net. It was that kind of a night, and Mid-Kerry sent out a signal on Saturday night that, you know, they're going to be really tough not to crack in the final.
Mm-hmm. Liam, when you bring the likes of Derek Cleary, Garrod Hassett, Gavin McKenna off the bench, Liam Carey obviously came on as well, and Jack O'Connor, who got the last goal, we've been kind of saying all year that East Kerry are the team with the strength and depth, but looking at the way Mid-Kerry have played, particularly in most of their recent games, they're not too dull in that brigade either, with plenty of strength on their panel.
Definitely, Donal. And look, and it's always great to have strength on the bench, but the bench need to come on and make an impact, and these guys are coming on and making big impacts. You know, Darragh Cleary, like John said, Jack O'Connor, you know, they got 2-2 between them. Garrod Hassett, Liam Carey, you know, there's guys down along there, you know, that will make a big impact coming out on the field. I was inside yesterday with Ambrose and Timmy, and, you know, Ambrose made a kind of a comment at half time, you know, that personalities and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and he didn't say kind of egos, but the guys that you'll be looking for, county men standing up and taking responsibility, you know, this is where these guys have been doing in the last couple of games for Mid-Kerry. No, you it's great to have a Mid-Kerry jersey on the back and coming on, but make an impact, and these boys are doing it. And I think, look, when you have the likes of Killian Burke, and I thought the big turning point really there was in the first half for me, was when Conor Gainey had a 1-on-1 with the goalkeeper and he kicked it wide. About a minute later, Killian had that fantastic run and hit the back of the net. No, Dingle missed an opportunity that they were getting all year, and next to Mid-Kerry hit him with a sucker punch at the other side. No, so it was all these small things like that can change games. But no, very impressed with Mid-Kerry over the weekend.
Yeah. Final word on Dingle, John, before we move on to the other game. Not saying that they won't be upset. I mean, obviously they want to be in the county final, they want to be winning it, but that limit of upset is obviously balanced against the fact that they now know that they're heading on that Munster club journey, and they're probably going to get a couple of weeks of respite from kind of week in, week out. How important is that respite, and, you know, how can they kind of gather their troops again, maybe to get around the table and say, listen, we've exited this competition, but we have another competition. We've seen how Kieran O'Rahilly's got out of that competition and got into the All-Ireland semi-final, and were within a kick or a few points of maybe even going a little bit further in it as well. So in many ways, I mean, the boat really isn't sunk yet.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Donal. It's very difficult to win one competition in Kerry, not in mind to try and win two, and that consistency. But look, they'll address things. They'll be hurting. You know, they're a very good side, great management team in place. They'll be hurting over the weekend, and they'll get back. and you know it could prove to be a blessing for them in the Munster club that that's gone now, and they can really focus on this, and they know when they'll be out, they know the opposition, and they'll have a real cut at it because they have nothing to lose. This is bonus territory. They're representing Kerry now, and you know the few little things the last night, the shooting, which is not usual, as Liam said, wasn't right. That'll come good. A little bit of indiscipline here and there, but that'll all be sorted out, and they'll be ready for the Munster campaign.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they're 10 games in 11 weeks as well. I mean, and to be fair to Dingle, they're not blessed with a huge squad. I mean, we're talking about mid-Kerry and East-Kerry rolling off quality subs. I mean, but for most club teams, I mean, they really have their 15 and maybe 5 or 6 with it, and they're digging down, but they all gave what they could. A word about Peter O'Sullivan and the steadying influence that he seems to have, Liam. I mean, we tend to talk about other managers and others, but I mean, this project has been going on quite a while, and Peter's been on the sideline. You hardly notice him with his cap, and he's nice, kind of quiet guy, and he has kind of a steady influence. Now, obviously, people will say, look, he's got great players to play with, but it's still not an easy task to be able to put your best 15 out, and in many ways, he seems to be able to finish with a stronger 15, and particularly in those 10 minutes when you need the scores, he seems to be able to play those cards.
Exactly, and no more like Jerry Sullivan in the other side now. The next day, they're getting their big players playing for him, and that's a great sign of a manager. And you can see with that Peter, even his own demeanour on the sideline, you know, he's calm, he's, you know, everything you want in a good manager, you can see it in him. Ably assisted with Gary Murphy and Gary McGrath on the sideline as well, two very good staunch football men. No, so yeah, Peter, you could see it even from last year, the building blocks, and I suppose you're trying to knit players together and you're trying to knit clubs together, which isn't easy, because like you have to think you have Milltown in an intermediate final, and in the other side you have Fossa. You know, so there's a few things going on in the background as well, which you could do without. But no, Peter has been doing a fantastic job in the last couple of years with Mick Kerry, and he's making them better and making them stronger.
There you go. My God, something positive about Mid Kerry from Liam Brosnan at long last. Huh? You said you wouldn't get out of the group. John Kennedy will have him the next night. Come here, the next game, East Kerry and Rathmore. To be fair, both of you picked East Kerry. It was comfortable enough in the end, John Kennedy, but to be fair to Rathmore, I mean, they rolled up the sleeves and they were competitive enough for long enough, maybe.
Yeah, they were. They got stuck in, Donald. They had a defensive plan, you know, and they stifled out East Kerry for as long as they could. They worked and they never gave up. They never dropped their heads, you know. And I suppose maybe David Clifford's goal, you know, there was long stretches during that where it was mass defending on both sides. There was no break. It was a keep ball, and he needed something. And I think Paddy Clifford and Patrick Darcy linked up, and they put David through for the goal, and that just gave him a bit of a cushion then. But like, even when it was gone out of sight for Rathmore, they still kept plugging away. Mark Green came on and he had a bit of pace up front. You know, he was unlucky with one shot, got a point, but there was a bit of an urgency there. But look, it was a step too far for Rathmore. They had a great run, and they just came up. Look, this East Kerry team, or we said it from the very start, they were the team to beat. Now, there's more in them, and there needs to be more in them, I think, if they're going to beat Mid Kerry on the form of the weekend. If you were to look at both games, you'd say it's advantage Mid Kerry on the games of the weekend. But I think that there's certainly more in this East Kerry team. And look, when you have the two Cliffords, as we said, you know, Darrell Roach up front, they're really firing, and you know, they're going to take some stopping.
Mm-hmm. Liam, of course, Rathmore brought Andrew Moynihan home. No Paul Murphy. They set Dan Murphy up as a sweeper, kind of sweeper, disruptor, kind of all-around housekeeper, really. And done a very, very solid job, to be fair. Is that the only way that anybody could really play the likes of East Kerry, is to be that kind of maybe defensive and keep the score down and try and hit him on the counter? Because to be fair to Rathmore, I mean, by the 24th minute, it was only 4-3.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you were watching the start of it, you were looking down at the field and you were seeing 14 men behind the ball. Like, to be fair, East Kerry were very patient. No, but you can be very patient when you have the likes of the two Cliffords with you, because after a while they're going to poke holes and they're going to get through and they're going to tap over scores. Like John said, it was the goal really going in at half time kind of separated them, and it kind of took the air out of Rathmore a small bit. But you have to give credit to Rathmore. Intermediate champions last year, came their first year in senior, they definitely held their own anyway. Yeah, going back to your question then, I suppose if you're a club team like that and you don't have the team that's my point at the start, that you don't have the all-round players that Meath Kerry will have, I'd hope Meath Kerry won't go defensive and try to play that kind of a game against East Kerry, because if you draw good teams on against you, they're going to keep the scoreboard ticking over. They're going to punch holes. You know, you're going to be in trouble. Whereas Rathmore, I suppose, being a club side, you're hoping to keep the score down and maybe catch them on the break. But when you're up against a team with East Kerry and the two Cliffords, and I thought Paddy was excellent yesterday, even though he was getting a bit excited at times, all right, but he was really the man that got East Kerry going yesterday. You know, so and David's a kind of a guy then. No, he might do nothing for 10 minutes, but give him 2 or 3 minutes and then it could be game over.
Fair play. Quick word before we leave you go. Of course, there's no game next week. We'll preview to Hill next week, of course, look at the whole lot. In two words, because it'll have to be two words, Meath Kerry or East Kerry, John?
I still think East Kerry can do it, Donald. More than two words. I think they can do it, but if Meath Kerry can match what they did at the weekend, it'll be tighter than that, people think.
Absolutely. And certainly only two words, Liam. Meath Kerry or East Kerry?
I see East Kerry in finals, and they seem to really step it up in the finals, but I think this Meath Kerry are different this year. I'm going to go with a draw.
You can't go with a draw. The only person that's going to win is Tom Kane with a draw. So you're backing a draw. Okay, fair enough.
I'll give you an answer next week. See who'll win it then.
Fair play. So that's fair enough. At least when you're sitting in front of me, I can see whether you're laughing at me or not. Come here, listen, guys. Thanks very much. And we'll talk to you again next week. We'll take a quick break, and after we're going to talk in Cumnam Munster.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now joining us is Tomáso Hennepin, the Kerry GAA Cultural Officer, of course, and there's an awful lot of stuff going on at the moment as well. Tomáso, you're very welcome, of course. Nice to see you, and Will, thanks for joining us. It's a big day for Kerry clubs, I mean, heading into Munster.
Coramahagat, Donald, thank you having this in. Yeah, from the cultural point of view, yeah, busy weekend ahead. We have lots of people representing us up in Newport and County Tipperary on Saturday evening with our score finals there outside in Curra Hall there. Is it Killian Tierna Hall? So we thank them for that. We have to get that right. So I've got a meal mug at all the people out there, for Johnny Bush and all the lads for facilitating us there. And following the event then with the selectors, there was obviously competition, and there were people selected in to go ahead to the final. Pearson the Drummer that won it on the night in the rink of Forna, but unfortunately, for because of a 50th anniversary being celebrated on the school and the girls are involved in the dancing there, it's Ballymac who get the opportunity to go forward, Ballymac handball. So we wish them the best in that. And the owner Auráinnigh Aonair for Kilcommon, I'm sure you know, a certain Sean O'Leary, so we wish her the best going forward representing the county. In the ballad group, with a lovely group there from Dr. Crokes, and we wish them the best. And in the Ashdor at Tuscaliath, we have Sonny Egan from the Neelic Crotta, so good night at Sonny. And then in the rink set, we have Spa, and what dancers they are out there in Spa, so good night Logalair. And of course, we can't forget Donald, the one that you like yourself, maybe the Trona Gisht. We had an outstanding performance in the county final from Knock na Haglisha, then he dropped 2 questions out of 80. Mm-hmm. So Le Cun of Dare, they'll keep that up. And on the night, Lisa Fuca were second and Spa were third in the small in the Tronigisht. And I suppose just also on that, on the night we ran there's a Crow Parker organising a Tronigisht at Skailge, and we ran a competition for that as well on the night outside in Curra. And Knock na Haglisha, Bally Igonachu, Spa and Lisa Fuca will be representing the county in the Munster final part of it on the Dehu Law, the Minnesota. So that's coming up shortly.
The clubs are all the smart people, huh?
The clubs are all the smart people. Or you could say the clubs are people who have time to do a bit of research. And some of the people on the quiz team zone, I won't go through the names, but some of them are fairly active in many, many ways within their clubs. So the best luck to them all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just on scores, well, I just forgot, we also have a meeting on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in the pavilion. Just, I suppose, the score sheet has come to the end, and just to decide the calendar of events for the remainder of the year. So all the cultural officers out there, any person within the club, in any of the clubs who is interested in promoting music, song, dance or whatever, you know, welcome to come along to the Pavilion in Austin Sex Park on Wednesday evening, this Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a very important part of the GAA as well, the score. I mean, like, some people go out and can kick frees and save penalties and the whole lot, but you can contribute to your club by singing and dancing and keeping the culture alive, and there's still county titles and Munster titles and everything to be won that side.
Doesn't everybody like a sing song? And if you can go up on stage and perform, isn't it fantastic? This talent that was, that's on view there, like, you know, we had scored a Bosch D there, I think it was the 6th of May, I think, down in Glenbe. Fantastic talent in the county, in the primary school levels, and also then in the Scorn and Oak, brilliant talent. So it is an opportunity, and, like, I mean, there are people within every club should have somebody who's able to sing a song, and you know, it is great. It's, you know, I suppose this year, Donal, you know, they're trying to readjust the score season nationally since the COVID, and I think that the score changer came upon us very, very quickly. You know, we were hardly off the playing fields and we were going. So look, the best luck to them, and they'll have an extra to go again in the springtime, and we just need to have the meeting on Wednesday night just to plan the rest of the year, basically, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And surely every club can put a quiz team together.
They do, but I tell you, it's hard to get them out in places. And I suppose, in fairness, when they were in the presence the last night of All Ireland winners in Churchill, and we also had Rathmore present, who were All Ireland winners, and I'm not sure if any of the others had won All Ireland, but the standard was high, as you would expect it to be, and so surreact.
Rathmore always stopped Filemore from winning the quiz there. They must eat the books or something out there. Come here, it's a huge night as well, tomorrow night, wearing your other cap, because I suppose there's no point bringing one cap. You have a couple of caps, English and Irish caps, and the whole lot. Come the months, Gull, I mean, before we talk about who's in the finals and the whole lot, I mean, I won't say I'm involved myself, but we ran our own monastery team out, and we got to the semi-finals. It was like winning the All-Ireland. We beat our friends back in Clare, they won't mind us winning one game in 7 years, but it was like winning the All-Ireland until we got into the big field over here in Connolly Park and ballooned it for a different level altogether. But the most important thing is that the kids in the schools that are playing, it's another aspect, it's another enjoyment, and some of these teams are looking in and they're saying, God, I want a bit of that for next year, and God, if we get organised now, you know, we have good gang in fourth class or good gang in third class and the whole lot, and it's all very good.
Yeah, Don, I think we watched them coming in at infants and we'll have a good coming what's called to you in 6 or 7 years time, but it's particularly in the smaller schools. Listen, you've said it there, Don. I mean, you'd hardly be inside the school gate in September, and the children be asking when is the coming once called training starting, and then we're knocked out of one competition, when is the next thing starting across country, when is the girls football and all this. So the enthusiasm and the interest is great, and the big thing about it, like, you know, that in some of the schools they're playing with guys that they're by and girls they'll be playing against, like, at club level, so it's just a unique opportunity and it's a unique competition, and thank God, like, the competitions within Kerry and indeed nationally have gone from strength to strength, and it's just, I suppose, I don't know, do they see it as a rite of passage, you know, in the sense that, okay, you're looking up at your school, these guys are going to be playing games, and then there's just, I want to be on the school team, and they want to go out and do well, and you know, it's in fifth and sixth mostly that they have a dominance then on the team, and yeah, it's a thing they're really looking forward to, and judging Donal and some of the results that came into us there from the quarterfinals, the semifinals, there has been some fantastic game so far in it. So look, our national sponsors are Allianz, and we appreciate, you know, without their support we probably wouldn't be on the road at all, like, you know, and we appreciate the cooperation we get from all the clubs, obviously, and the county board here in Kerry. Since we returned in September, there is a list of people who are involved in the promotion of the games, the coordinating of them, that I just couldn't go through the list here, you'd have to be cutting John Kindy and Young Brustin off the next night if we had to go through it all, like, but we won't go down that road. But I mean, yeah, there's a whole pile of coordinating goes on. I suppose if you take the finals that are on tomorrow evening, don't you take the two teachers, the three teachers, the 4 to 5 teacher final and the shield, that they are run initially on a district basis. So you have to win your district. So there's a competition there within that district for each of the competitions. And, you know, to come through that, then to come into county quarterfinals and then to progress to semi finals. I mean, the excitement and the whole thing that goes with the euphoria and the anticipation that goes with the game, like, is there visible for all to be seen, like, so, like, without naming them, just to thank all the coordinators and obviously the principals and the teachers and the trainers and also the clubs for the, like I said, for the pitches, and more importantly the referees who make themselves available there to do games kind of during the day for us. And like I said, tomorrow night is the big night to conclude it. we had them out last Tuesday night. It wasn't the best night that we ever played. We
you
actually
pick fine rainy nights, don't you?
No, we've been lucky over the years. In fairness, you try to have a little bit of flexibility, but in fairness to us and Sacks Park Committee, you know, Tuesday night was available, and then they're preparing for a county championship, and you know, the pitch,
they need to protect the field,
and they need to prepare the field for that, and we really appreciate being in there the last night and again on tomorrow night. So we have a big schedule of games. I suppose the big one done last night, all four winners the last night from the 6-7 up to the Urban 2 got an opportunity. The four winners played in the semi-final then to go for the Division 1, and in one of those semi-finals Girlscove of Gaspin defeated Spawn National School and Abby Dorney, head manager of Dorney, had a fantastic victory over Skull Relton Madden and Sonny Listool. I especially showed the game at Ryan Hayne, Stehemark, I saw she the Sulgamurlish and Sonny manager of Dorney. Really looking forward to it out there in Abby Dorney. So, their first time ever to reach a Division 1 final. So, it'll be really
Division 1 Northern final. It's the biggest
school. It's the bigger schools. And I suppose, to be fair, Dorney, you know.
Mr. Quill, take it easy on you, will you?
Mr. Quill will be taking on Mr. Carney there, and we'll see how they go on that. Like, you know, so it'll be interesting, himself and Cullum. So that there could be skin and hair flying in that one. But sure, we'll leave him at it. You know, we'll leave whoever's refereeing it. He'll keep him under control.
He'll earn his corn anyway. Of course, the other games that are on tomorrow evening, 3:30. My own gang, I suppose, back on the other side of the parish, Skull Vihil, Bala and Skellig, taking on St. Oliver's of Ballylongford. John Kane, this gang out there in Ballylongford, the two-teacher, Fybeck National School on the way back there to Kiel versus Shrone National School.
Shrone coming through. I think we're Shrone through in the girls' last, if I remember. I just saw a photograph of the team, a fine team. They beat Bannon there in the quarter final, and they beat Bannon in the semi-final, Lochfooder, I think, in the semi-final, and they're a strong team, so we're looking forward to that. Fybeck, I think, had a good team last year, and we're unlucky, maybe, I think, at quarter final stage were beaten by I think a team from West Kerry, actually Dunqueen, actually. So no, they'll be looking forward now to this final, and hopefully we'll get a good game in that particular one, the two teacher. I think we're starting off with the three teacher one because of some road works that are going on down.
Yeah, we have to be home early so Kerry, because the road shuts at 8 o'clock, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's only fair, of course.
And that is St. Oliver's, isn't it? So they're being marshalled by
Skull Vihil, Ballinaskilligan, the whole parish is going.
The whole parish.
And they speak Irish as well.
Anna Baharfad, so Lord Mead.
That's worth 3 points to them,
absolutely,
is it?
Absolutely, they get a head start in that one, but maybe the Kerry fullback might have something to say about that. Jason is involved with them, St. Oliver's
in Ballylongford.
So we wish them the best luck in that. Again, it's one that we really, you know, are looking forward to.
That's great. Yeah. The two teachers go, two and three teachers go. 4 and 5, it's Benidorm versus Castledrum, and then the 4 and 5, well, that's the Shield, of course. And the 4 and 5, the final is an All East Kerry Fair, Kilcommon versus Scarty Glen. Great performance by a certain O'Hanifin, didn't get to the final, but some heavy scoring.
I think I think that's the system they're playing, I suppose, that everybody else doing the work, maybe supplying him with the ball. I haven't seen any of the games. I saw him playing against Kilcommon there last year in the final. I haven't seen the chap playing since, but I mean, that was a fantastic game. I think it was something like 5-15 to 4-14. It was fantastic place, yeah. And a lot of our games have been like that, you know, where they just go for it, they go for their scores and that kind of thing. And a team that was unlucky, well, fair play to Ballyduff for winning through in the Shield there, but I think that Skull Vrain and below in St. Colin Port McGee scored 1-14 and come out in the losing side of it, you know, it's hard look on them, but I believe a lot of them are in the school again next year, so you know, they'll be looking forward to that. So look, we're looking forward to it. We have a good schedule of games there for tomorrow evening, and it's all happening in Austin Sacks Park. I guess Arish, Mila Boykas, to everybody who supports us, and to everybody within the schools.
And if you want a bit of excitement in your own, truly, I'm sure you can walk in the gate of Austin Sacks Park, Pierre.
Absolutely, and the only thing, you know, if your hearing is very sensitive, bring earmuffs, because I'll tell you, there's always great roaring come from the thing. And of course, all the games are videoed by Dan Devan, and they'll be available through the schools for any person who wants them.
Oh, fantastic, fair play. Listen, Tomás, Gurumila, we might chat again maybe in a couple of weeks when we have all this kind of wrapped up, because obviously you're going running as well, and the girls will be back out as well, and it's a big enough season. And listen, thanks for all the great work that goes on there with Conan Munskull. And you're dead right, the minute you're out of competition, we're thinking of another one straight away. We're already train the boys over in the month to run long distances.
Actually, the running, and in fairness, Margaret Kazan Buff in what you call a Coolart has been one of the drivers behind that. Like, and it's fantastic, and it's great for there's great interest in it. And as you know yourselves, we have a good old day above there in Castlelea. We hope Joe will give it to us again this year.
Or Joe will, there's no bother. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, next week sees the Daniel O'Connell School for 2023 take place in the Ringa Kerry Hotel there in Carsonveen and in Derrynane House Hotel as well. Well, not the hotel, obviously, Derrynane House. I wonder, was it a hotel maybe back in the day? But that's Owen Carr, Daniel. And of course, another fringe event taking place on Friday evening there, the 27th at Concaiting Park, the home of St. Mary's, of course, that'll be affectionately known by most there in South Kerry. My next guest will be chatting about her time, I suppose, in a range of sports in which she excelled. And of course, she's the daughter of Carsonveen, really, in many ways, and that of course is Casey Driscoll. Casey, good evening, thanks for joining us.
Hi Donald, thank you, thanks for inviting me on.
Well, you are the second member of your family on now, you know, I suppose your other sister got in before you, but first of all, Casey, it must be a little surreal to head back to Concaiting Park without your boots, I'd imagine, probably, and to talk about your life and times and your football and all that.
Yeah, it is exactly that. I think that's a nice way of describing it, a bit surreal. It's a long time since, or it feels like anyway, a long time since I've donned the boots, and you know, very flattered and humbled that, you know, people want to talk about the career or reel in the years, as it were, and go back. It's not something that I tend to reflect on too much, or anything. So I suppose, you know, since they've been on touch and it's, you get thinking about it again, I guess, and jog the memory. And yes, you know, some nice memories certainly come flooding back, and particularly of where it all started in Concaiting Park. You know, I think it was, of course, right, coming from the family I did, and steeped in football and Kerry football, with my dad playing and whatnot. You grow up with it, but I as you know, Donald, lived a stone's throw from St. Mary's Field, and you know, I must have been in my 20s before I ever walked in the gate. I always hopped the wall
around the back.
And it was there, you know, that the love for the game was really nurtured.
Yeah, of course, like Carsonveen is the town, of course, you're out there in Valencia Road, of course, and yeah, you're dead right, you just jumped the wall and maybe a bit of grass and off you go. Come here, what are your early memories of sport in the house? You kind of mentioned there that your father, Gerard, I suppose for people not unaware or maybe getting to be aware, Gerard Driscoll, of course, a big star of his own right in that Kerry setup as well in those golden years. John Kennedy tell you plenty of stories about him. Did you know growing up that Gerard was as big or as important as he was, or did that come kind of later in life? Because I'd imagine you would have been small if you weren't even there at all, maybe.
Yeah, certainly. I think probably he was very near the end of his playing days when I came on the scene. I think I have. It's only probably in later years you grow up to understand, and maybe when you go to Kerry games with your dad, that, you know, people come and want to talk to him and things like that you realise, oh yeah, these guys mean a lot to Kerry people, and in fact, you know, people all over the country for sure. But you know, my mom as well, as you know, Donald, was you know, a bus driver and drove for many years Kerry minors, Kerry under 21s, Kerry juniors, and even Kerry seniors. So I was, you know, I grew up in the front seat of the bus with her when she's bringing all the boys from South Kerry and up along Glen Bay and Killorglin and whatnot, all into Fitzgerald Stadium for training. And this was the time, I guess, before fellas had cars and whatnot. So that, I think, would have left a huge impression on me. And the house was, you know, a busy one, and sport was at the heart of that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Eileen, your mother, I mean, she was like an original Wishy Fogarty. I'm sure she asked every single one of them getting on and off the bus how they were getting on and how they were playing and who was on the team and the whole lot, and bringing the news home. And of course, your grandmother, of course, was a great woman for transporting teams across the country as well in minibuses and schools. Come here, the time came eventually that you just didn't jump across the wall. You had to play. Of course, your father is a Valencia man, obviously. We were putting the Valencia Young Islanders there, maybe a converted Mary's man later in life. But Mary's was your team and your first jersey. Can you remember your early times from going in the field and playing with the Marys, possibly ahead of Southern Gales and South Kerry and those teams, maybe?
No, for sure, I can, and they're some of the fondest memories. You know, the St. Mary's had an under 12 girls team at the time, and Flurry O'Leary gave us a lot of time and a great start. And I remember that perhaps is my first medal even with the St. Mary's under 12 girls, where we have a South Kerry championship. And then I played with the boys team under 12 and the girls team in St. Mary's at the time. There was no under 14, so I also played with the boys under 14. And you know, we had a great team at the time, and there's a great core group of people who give their time to St. Mary's. You know, we had Kieran McCarthy, Christy Connell, John Sheehan. Brian's dad, of course, was heavily involved, and Brian himself was part of those teams. Batty Moriarty, Micheál Daly, great people, and we had a very successful time. I mean, I think my last year under 14, I remember we didn't lose a match, I think, that year, which was great. And I remember a trip that the guys took us on, the coaches, Christy and Micheál Daly and John Bablo O'Connor. They took us to Crow Park, and I mean, when you're 14 and you kind of, you're getting on the train in Killarney, and it's a big trip, and you get to go to Crow Park, I guess, and see that hallowed turf, it leaves an indelible mark, and you come away that bit more inspired, of course. And I'm sure that left a great impression not only on me, but on the rest of the lads who went on to have great careers with the Marys, and some of them still soldiering.
Mm-hmm. There isn't too many people that can say that they were teammates with Brian Sheehan when he was 12. I mean, Brian is still kicking pints over the bar. Well, congratulations on your big win over Renard, of course. I better mention that as well to keep you all sweet back there. Come here, the time came for Kerry. Obviously, the call came. Some fella looked down and said, God, there's this Casey Driscoll one down there. She might be able to do a job. Can you remember kind of stepping into the Kerry setup? I'd imagine maybe as a juvenile first before the seniors called.
Yeah, that's right. I think under 14 was my first foray into it, and it just proved lovely timing in that sense. I guess it was my first year under 14, and there was a great bunch of players there, and we actually won the All-Ireland that year, and that was probably one of the few occasions where Kerry were triumphant coming out of Munster, and because after, you know, very shortly after that, you know, in the following 3 to 4 years, once that same team reached under 16 and minor, that was sort of it coincided with the dominance of Cork. And you know you take no great pride in saying you probably were Cork's biggest battle of any year, and once they got out of Munster, they probably felt very confident of doing well after that. But you could say it all went downhill after under 14s after that.
Well, it didn't go downhill. I mean, from the playing point of view, you won All-Stars and you were recognised. But it's an interesting point that you raise, playing under the shadow of that Cork team, seeing them become dominant, get far more dominant, and you know, continue that tradition where they kind of built their own tradition of success, really. Because prior to the 2000s, I mean, Cork didn't win anything, but you kind of just arrived on the scene when that fire was lit and they were getting successful. Did that make it harder, Casey, come back every year, you know, another year gone, another year gone, another year close, almost got there? Is that difficult then to kind of go back, or is the hunger even greater?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that team, obviously, that came out of Cork, the nucleus of it was that a very young group of players. So when I say that you know, at that under 14, under 16 level, they were still coming together. But sort of once I think I was just out of under 14, and I made my senior debut, and I was playing senior after that, and sort of Kerry senior team were still miles and miles better than that Cork senior team for a number of years, whilst it took that that core group of Cork players time to develop and come on the scene and later. So we probably had a lot of success at senior level in Kerry for a while in those early noughties, and that was a really good period. We unfortunately came up short in two semi-finals to Dublin, who went on to win it both times. But we came close. We lost the National League final as well, and you know, that there was a really strong group of players there. You had Dearlín O'Shea, of course, you had Andre O'Donoghue, Jackie Murnan, you know, Katie Kennelly, really, and from our own club in Southern Gales, you had the likes of Sarah O'Connor, Caroline Kelly, Dee Corridan, Mary Kelly, So we enjoyed that. We enjoyed the period we had, until Cork caught up almost. And of course, after that, I guess to answer your question, it becomes a lot harder to come back year after year, and you're coming up against a very, very special group of Cork players, a Cork team, as much as it breaks my heart to say that, but it's true. You have to give them what they did for ladies football, for sure. Was very special, and I suppose Kerry had their time as well. When you go back to when the likes of Mary Jo and Marie Fitz and those were in the scene in the late 80s and early 90s, they also had a similar streak.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it was Waterford and Laois, I suppose, were losing at that stage, and they were feeling the pain. Casey, will you stay on the line? I need to take a quick break, or my producer will go absolutely nuts. He's not loving this, so Kerry loving it at all. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back, and we'll have another 5 or 6 minutes on the other side, because I want to talk about the soccer as well, please.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There is the Terrace Talk to Old Barry here just until 8 o'clock this evening in the company of Casey O'Driscoll. Casey, we talked the football, we talked the Marys, we talked Brian Sheen's link. Talk to us about the soccer, because, I mean, it's kind of an unusual jump that a girl from Carseveen way back down there in South Kerry played soccer at the highest level.
Yeah, it is a funny one when you put it like that. For sure. I think to go back, and you know, you talk about growing up in a sport mad house, really. My dad, as much as he loved football, loved soccer.
Of course, he was winning with Kelna first year after year after year after year as well.
Yeah, he might have mentioned that once or twice. But look, a big Man United fan, and my grandfather before him, so that's been passed down, that love of soccer, I guess. And I don't know what sparked it, but you know, I had this this dream always that I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to play soccer in the US, and I didn't necessarily let figuring out how get in the way of that. And I suppose it was how the opportunity came about was I was playing football match. We were playing in a Munster Championship game for Kerry, under 16s above in Clare, and the Clare goalie at the time was with the Irish team as well. And she reached out after about the possibility of coming to play or a trial with Munster, and the managers got in touch. And I remember going to one Munster trial in North Cork, which is a long way from South Kerry, but thankfully I didn't have to make that trip again, because after that it was straight to the Irish team as it transpired. And I was under 17 at the time, and my first tournament was the Youth Olympics, actually, where it was played in France. So Noel King was over us at the time, and Noel he also coached the senior women subsequently, and the Irish men's under 21, and he's involved with League of Ireland clubs, as you probably know, but he was at the helm at the time. So that was the first opportunity of how that came about. And we ended up losing on a penalty shootout to the third and fourth place playoff in France that year.
Yeah.
And I guess subsequent to that, I went on to play under 19s. University at the World University Games, and then at senior level.
How many caps you get at senior level, Casey? You gathered a few of them too, did you?
Yeah, I think I have maybe 16 or 17.
I suppose that wasn't enough for Gerdo, was it? He probably wanted to get to 50, maybe. He was struggling. Come here, very quickly, because we're running out of time, and it's linking to the Soccer World Cup and the whole lot. You're 16-time senior capped player. I mean, you look at where soccer is now and the ladies and the World Cup, and look, we won't talk about the side shows or the other shows with them, but the fact that they're up there now in lights, is there a bit of an itching saying, God, it's a pity this wasn't back in my day, or you know, do all these things take a little time to get there anyway?
Of course, I'd be lying that you think that you know, anyone who's played or wants to play on the biggest stage, and you know, like we struggled enough in and those that came before and after me did, you know, in various qualifying tournaments and whatnot, and came close. And there's a lot of great players that Ireland have produced that unfortunately didn't get to play on that biggest stage. But I think there's immense pride in seeing the girls achieve it now. I think it's probably well documented the struggles that they've had, and you know, they've had to fight hard for the infrastructure that's been put in place, and it's just really wonderful to see that bearing fruit. You know, a couple of my former teammates were involved this year, and you know, just really pleased for them. They're coming to the end of their careers now, obviously, like Celine Fahy, Diane Caldwell, Louise Quinn, and you know, I don't think people should underestimate the enormity of what they've achieved from where Irish women's football have come from. So yeah, no, I'm immensely proud of them.
Absolutely, fair play to you. And of course, Soccer is immensely proud of you, Casey, as well, of course. And they will get to quiz you the next night behind in St. Mary's. They've done a great job, the clubhouse now, and everything was up there recently. Loads of pictures. And pictures of yourself up there as well, and lots of pictures of the ladies' football. And of course, obviously, the Jackos and the Morrises and the history and all the South Kerry. It's a very family oriented. And just to think that you used to jump across the ditch and run across to play ball and then race back probably and get on the bus and head up to Croke Park or something, or maybe cross country meet in Kinmere or something. Casey, listen, I really enjoyed having you on this evening. Thanks very much for taking the call. It's great to see you doing so well, and it's great, I suppose, recall those memories. And the most shocking thing about you, I'd swear we were both about 90 years old talking about these memories, but to us they were only just around the corner. You've been a great ambassador for our sport in ladies football, and of course in soccer and everything else you've done with it as well. And sure, do you know what, I suppose Ger has his couple of All-Ireland medals, you know, he'd probably have that to boss, but you've a couple of All-Stars as well. You're not so badly off. And thanks for joining us this evening, Casey.
Thank you, Don. Lovely to talk to you.
Not at all. God bless. That, of course, was Casey O'Driscoll. This evening's show, of course, we spoke to the gang from Crotta and the gang from Tralee Parnells, and the very best look to them in the Munster Championships. John Kennedy, Liam Broston, they're still backing East Kerry to win it, although Liam is softening a bit and says mid-Kerry. And of course, we have the Cumnock Munster tomorrow evening, plenty schools, and the very best look to all those young kids as well. And of course, a big shout out to my own gang in Kilcowan as well. I suppose we'll have to say that, surely, with the small field playing as well. Listen, we'll do it all again next week. Thanks to Ivan and thanks to Keane. Up next is Talks Us. We could all do with one. Amira Conroy is in the building, ready to go full nuclear in about 5 seconds. We'll do it all again next week.